Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org. Support for WPR comes from the Wisconsin DNR, preventing food waste and composting scraps and uneaten veggies, grains, and fruit can help the environment. More dnr.wi.gov by searching food waste.
The 4th of July is just days away, and this hour we'll get the lowdown on festivities taking place across the state and much more to do between now and August. Good morning, I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:07 on Friday, June 28th, and it's time to tell Cynthia where to go. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. or leave a comment on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you have some suggestions for things to do in and around your area this month. Joining us, as he does every month, to share his monthly events calendar is Gary Knowles, Upper Great Lakes columnist for Journal and Topics newspapers based in Des Plaines, Illinois, and a contributing travel editor for the online publication American Boomer. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. I hope you're ready to get some instruction about where to go now, Cynthia. We've got plenty of places for you in July, and I'll bet you the listeners have some ideas, too.
I hope so, and I'm just a little overwhelmed by all the wonderful things to do in the month of July. What are you looking forward to the most, Gary?
Well, there's a whole raft of things. I guess the one thing that you and I were talking about before that we could probably bring up is Summerfest has kicked off, and it's up and running, and, for people that love music, you can hardly find a music festival anywhere that has the variety and the, the firepower of a thing like Summerfest going on. And I was over there the other night. Actually, I was over for the start of it and got to see the Avett Brothers perform, and they were fabulous, as always. But coming up, I mean, I was looking at this list here. They have some really top-level performers coming up. Tom Petty. I know there's a lot of Pitbull fans out there that are can't wait for Pitbull to come.
Wait, do I see New Kids on the Block on this list?
I was going to ask if you knew the New Kids on the Block, because
I do. I still have my New Kids on the Block pillowcase.
Do you really?
From first grade, yes.
Okay, well, they probably are more well-known by now, aren't they? They're not so new anymore, but they're still on the block.
The old Kids on the Block, yeah.
They haven't gotten off the block yet, yeah. And then, speaking of having been on the block for a long time, July 7th, the Eagles are coming. And I know they do a fabulous concert, but they're going to be in town. They'll be in at Summerfest. And then, you've got some others, like you've got the Go-Go's, which, for people that were around in the 80s, they'll remember the Go-Go's, of course. The Zombies, LL Cool J is coming, Foreigner, Jimmy Eat World, quite a list of
and
them.
Lewis Black.
Lewis Black,
the comedian,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's
an eclectic lineup, but and did you know that WPR's own Norman Gilliland went to high school with Tom Petty?
I didn't know that.
He
Is
did.
That right?
Yes, I've seen the yearbook picture.
Wow,
we called him Tommy.
Yes, I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Well, we're all about one degree away from stardom, aren't we?
Yeah.
But so Summerfest is really a lot of fun and great food over there. I managed to eat some ribs and get some great drink over there in Milwaukee, and a lot of good things going on. But I would say that's one of the big things that's taking place this month. And then, of course, the other thing is I've been talking to Joy. Joy had asked for where she should go, and I had some ideas for her. And one of the ideas I had for her was that she should go to Elkhart Lake this summer and go up and see the Vintage Festival at Road America, the Hawk, it's called. It's a vintage racing fest, and that goes on the 18th through the 20th or some such thing like that in Elkhart Lake, and I'll find the date here in a minute. But I think Joy had said that she was planning to go to that.
Oh, yes, the 18th through the 21st.
The 18th through the 21st, right. And the neat thing about that is you don't even have to go to the races to really see the great cars, because on Friday night they have all these race cars that come parading into Elkhart Lake. They fill up the square and the streets around the area, and it's just like an incredible car show that takes place right down there. But you got to see them come in because the parade sounds like thunder as they're coming in from Road America. And then on Saturday night, they have a parade of race cars that come in as well. So that's a lot of fun. If you get out to the track, of course, is great fun, great racing out there. And it's all presented with Brian Redman. And for people that don't know, Brian Redman, a world championship race driver, okay, and a really neat guy. And if you get a chance to meet him, you probably will, because Elkhart Lake isn't that big. If you walk around there, you're probably going to run into some really famous people, mm-hmm, and have a great time. The 18th to the 21st.
Nice. Well, something right above that on your list caught my eye. Lumberjacks in Love.
You want to go see Lumberjacks in Love? Whitewater is the place to go for that. I don't know if you normally associate Whitewater with Lumberjacks or not, but they have the play down there, Lumberjacks in Love. And according to the story, there's five Lumberjacks. One hasn't bathed in 20 years. Only one? That'd be my question. But Lumberjacks in Love is going to be taking place at the Hicklin Studio Theater, and that's over on West Main in Whitewater. It runs the 16th to the 21st, so the Lumberjacks will be in town for a while. And I understand that it's a rather humorous play and well worth checking out. Mm-hmm. Some neat things going on down there in Whitewater. So some neat stuff. You know, and the 13th to the 14th of this month, we have the Madison Art Fair on the Square, mm-hmm, which, I don't know how they count, if they really can count them. They guess it's around 200,000 people come for the art down on the Square in Madison. I think that's over probably the 2 or 3 days that they're down there. But it is an incredible show, 450 artists. They bring in some of the top art from around the country, and it's a juried show. So,
okay,
it's really a good show, well worth seeing.
And there's even the art fair off the square, which is just down, I believe, Martin Luther King
there
Boulevard.
There is, and incredible, exceptional art there as well, and more of a Wisconsin regional focus on that art off the square. And so once you come down here, you really need to plan to be here a couple of days. It's hard to take it all in one day.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of fun. That's really a good one. And a lot of neat things going on, and there's a lot of places to go. If you want to go see theater, you're talking about theater. The Little Shop of Horrors is playing in Fort Atkinson at the Fireside Theater. And the Fireside does a really good job, not only of theater, but also of dining. And, there's the old saying in the theater business that if you go to a dinner theater, you'll probably die from either the dinner or the theater. And neither of those will get you at Fireside. They're really a great theater. They've been in business for a long time. And it's really one of Wisconsin's neat performance venues, and well worth checking out. Great, great food and great theater.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's still plenty to do before July even comes upon us on Monday. So let's look at what's going on this weekend.
Sure. This is kind of winding up the big June start of everything. Downtown Baraboo, they have the summer brouhaha taking place down there. That's tonight. And it's a brew fest where you can go and sample a lot of micro brews and really enjoy some of the great beer that's made here in Wisconsin. And that's in Baraboo.
Several vendors, or is it one specific brewery that's featured?
No, they bring in quite a few different craft brews up there, okay, for that. And you don't have to drink just one brewer's work, but there's a lot of opportunity to try different ones there. And that will be, tickets are on sale at Becca Kate's up there. And it starts at 6 o'clock and goes till 9. So, that's not a whole long time.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have to sample quickly when you go to the brew fest there. And, of course, if you're going to have, you're thinking beer in Wisconsin, what else are you thinking? But, of course, cheese probably.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So you've got to go to the Ellsworth Cheese Curd Festival, which goes on actually through Sunday, through the 30th. So you got a lot of opportunity. You can go sample the beers up in Baraboo and then head up to Ellsworth and go check out their Cheese Curd Festival. They have lots of great cheese to sample there, and their theme is living in La Vida Queso. So you know, they have a sense of humor, too. And they say that the festival includes wacky events, but they didn't tell me exactly what they are, except I know they do have a cheese curd eating contest. So, and there's a lot of good cheese curds.
Can't imagine what... Now, the next day would feel like for the competitors.
Well, they probably crave more cheese. I would guess. Now, you know, the thing about cheese curds, and I don't know if you know this or not, Cynthia, but, you know, when you go out and buy cheese curds, you'll see a sign that says fresh cheese curds. Mm-hmm. Your cheese curds, to really be fresh, ought to be made the day that you get them. Now, you probably know that. I know some people don't, but the best cheese curds you can get are the ones right out of the vat. If you can ever get a chance to tour a cheese factory and get them right out of the vat the morning they make them, they're just incredible. They squeak, of course, when you eat them, and, you know.
Yeah, that's a strange...
No cheese curds.
It's a strange thing.
Yeah.
The squeaking. Well, you know what caught my eye is Gordon Goodwin's Big Fat Band with special guest. Do we know who that guest would be?
I don't.
Okay.
No.
But tell me about the Big Fat Band, and that's P-H-A-T.
Yeah, I that's all I know about him. I know that he's going to be up there, and it's going to be up in Williams Bay.
Okay.
And that is on Saturday. And it's a jazz ensemble, and they are going to be doing some performances up there in Williams Bay, and that's what I know about that one.
I'm going to hope for some Tommy Dorsey with a twist of funk.
Well, okay. There you go. put in your request now.
All right.
They'll probably be ready for you when you get there.
I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine, and we're talking with Gary Knowles about some of the great things to do in and around Wisconsin for the month of July. And, of course, there are plenty of things to do this weekend yet. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. If you have any recommendations for things to do, places to see, you can also email talk@WPR.org or leave a comment on our Facebook page. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In our weather forecast today, increasing clouds, then rainy. It'll be mild with most highs near 70 degrees, highs in the lower 60s near Lake Superior. Tonight, cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid to upper 50s. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay tuned after 6:30 when we'll get another taste of Wisconsin life. Right now and for the remainder of the hour, it's Tell Cynthia Where to Go. My guest is Gary Knowles, Upper Great Lakes columnist for Journal and Topics newspapers based in Des Plaines, Illinois, and a contributing travel editor for the online publication American Boomer. He's our monthly contributor to the Tell Joy Where to Go segment, which you hear every Friday at 6 o'clock right here on the Ideas Network. Gary, we've been talking about what's going on this weekend, and what else is left?
Well, I think another place you might want to go, Cynthia, if you're looking for a good idea, Spring Green. Spring Green, always kind of a fun place to go anyway, but this weekend they have their 44th annual art fair out there. And, you know, we talked about the Madison Art Fair being really a great art fair and good mm-hmm. reputation. Spring Green Art Fair also is one of those that really has brought in some really top artists, and every year they have neat people that come out there. And it's such a pretty part of the state. You know, it's a quick little drive to get out there, and well worth checking out the art when you're there. There's some neat places in town. I was out there not too long ago and ran into the Arcadia Bookshop, which is a wonderful bookstore downtown Spring Green.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a real neat little restaurant out there called the Driftless Depot, and they specialize in kind of locally grown foods, and they've got a great deli that has all kinds of organic products in it, and some good cheeses, and they also have a little cafe attached to it. So
nice.
I would say if you get out there, by all means, check out those places. There's a lot of artists that live out in that area, so there's a lot of art galleries, but of course the whole town will be loaded with art when the art fair is taking place this weekend.
And the American Players Theater is nearby, right?
APT is right out there. Mm-hmm. And for people that like to golf, there's an incredible golf course out there at the Springs. It's actually at the House on the Rock Resort, it's called now. But there's a golf course that was designed by Robert Trent Jones Sr., who is one of the first some kind of designer label golf course designers that our country has had. And his golf course is right out there. And then there's also nine holes that Roger Packard and Andy North designed together out there. And so there's like a 27-hole golf course that's really a fabulous course and well worth playing. If you've never been there, you'll really enjoy it. So might want to check that out. And, of course, Taliesin is out there, Frank Lloyd Wright's original masterpiece. And Frank Lloyd Wright's former gravesite is out there. He was buried for a while.
Former gravesite.
His former gravesite. He was buried for a while. at the Unity Chapel, which is the little chapel that's out there. And then when his last wife died, she had him exhumed and cremated and sent to Arizona, where his ashes were scattered. So the former Frank Lloyd Wright gravesite is out there.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
A lot to see out there.
A lot of things. House on the Rock. Of course, I guess that almost went without mentioning. But, you know, the House on the Rock is Wisconsin's, I think it's Wisconsin's largest tourism attraction in terms of bringing in people. I think, you know, you're talking 250,000, 300,000 people a year go to see the House on the Rock, which is, you know, an incredible place. Have you ever been into the House on the Rock?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to get you out
there. I have friends who went, and they said that they were just overwhelmed by how much there is to see.
Overwhelmed that's right. You need to go there, and probably it's a good idea to plan to do it in 2 days or three.
Okay.
Because it is such a huge attraction. You know, you really don't get an idea of what it is till when you get there and you start going through it, and it's, you know, one thing after another. I mean, I love the carousel. They have this carousel that's there that's, I think, it's probably the world's largest carousel, and it has something like 237 animals on it, not one horse. And it's really an exercise of the of fantasy and the imagination. And you know, you need to get out there to see it, because I'm trying to describe it, but it is almost indescribable.
I just, it was described to me as the house of someone who was once a hoarder.
Was it what?
A hoarder. Someone who just collected
things.
Well,
actually, I don't, you know, you could say that he was a collector.
Okay.
Alex Jordan, who built the place, was originally he built the place, they say, as a kind of an escape. He was from Madison, and he went out there and discovered this Chimney Rock, which is a really neat place out in that area of the state. And he decided to do some camping and use it as kind of a retreat from, I guess, the high pressure of Madison, and would go out there and started building on this place. And after a while, the word kind of got out there. There's a guy building a neat house out there, and people wanted to come and see it. And I think he put out a bucket and said, drop a quarter in the bucket if you want to come and see the house. And then you kind of had to climb a ladder to get up to it and take a look at it. And lots and lots of people started going. There was an article written that popped up, I think, probably in the Milwaukee Journal at that time, or the Milwaukee Sentinel. And more and more people came to see it, and his money started collecting there. And so he took the money, and he used it to continue to build on the house. And the bigger it got, the more they came.
Uh-huh.
And it's now become this thing where he collected, lamps and all kinds of figures on carousels and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a collection of collections, and it's a it's kind of an indescribable fantasy trip to get to see this place, because it's just amazing. You know, it really is. And you haven't been there, you need to go to see it. And it's one of those things you need to put in your experience.
Nice. Well, 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call if you have any other travel recommendations, or if you have any questions for Gary Knowles, things to see and things to do. The number, once again, is 1-800-642-1234. Another thing collectors might be interested in, the model train show in Baraboo is coming up in July.
Yeah,
the 25th through the 28th, it looks like.
I believe it is. I'll have to turn to my page. And
sorry, maybe for a loop there. A lot of people in Wisconsin love their trains yet.
Yeah, they do. And I know that there's a lot of things that are coming up in Baraboo. I see the circus celebration is coming up there as well. And That is on the 27th, and the trains out there, they're going to have model trains on display, and so that should be a good show. A lot of neat things coming up out in that area, and Baraboo is always kind of a fun place to go anyway, but they have a beautiful square down there. If you've never been to it, it's well worth checking out. But yeah, Circus World Museum is the place where the model train show will be taking place. And if you've ever been out there, they have these great circus wagons as well that they've restored. And Wisconsin has an incredible circus history. A lot of circuses were actually organized in Wisconsin. And part of it had to do with our child labor laws that allowed circuses to have young people working for them.
Oh, wow.
And so a lot of circuses actually organized legally in Wisconsin. And Delavan is another Wisconsin community where a lot of circuses would winter and circus people would spend the winters there. And it was kind of their headquarters. So kind of a neat place. Matter of fact, in Delavan, the cemetery has probably more circus performers buried in it than any other cemetery in the state. And it's really quite a neat place and well worth checking out.
Nice. That is something definitely to go see. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call with your travel recommendations or questions. Are there things you want to do and you're just not quite sure if there's something up your alley? Gary's got a ton of information here, and you can check out his monthly travel guide at WPR.org/joy. It's available for you to see. And I think we also shared a link on Facebook as well. 1-800-642-1234. Gary, we'll have to take a news break real soon, but let's talk real quickly about the Bike the Barns
tour. Yeah, it's a opportunity to do some biking and see some great countryside. It's a 52-mile recreational ride that goes through southwest Wisconsin, what they call the Driftless region out there. And they have stops at farms and special places along the way where you're going to be able to try some of the really great locally grown food and meet some of the people that produce it. And you have to register in advance for this thing. We've got the registration information included in our calendar.
Great.
But it really will be a lot of fun. A great ride.
Wonderful. That's Gary Knowles. He's Upper Great Lakes columnist for Journal and Topics newspapers based in Des Plaines, Illinois, and contributing travel editor for the online publication American Boomer. He's our monthly contributor to Tell Joy Where to Go, and we'll continue after this news from NPR.
I've been to Allen's Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldier's Grove, Hales Corners, Slade's Corners, Abel's Corners, Newbrook Corners, Piper'sville, Pittsville, D.
There's plenty to do and see in and around Wisconsin in July, and this hour we're getting caught up in all the festivities taking place, plus other great summer festivals and events happening until August. We're here with Gary Knowles, travel writer and Tell Joy Where to Go contributor, but first it's time for Wisconsin Life. Bats emerge from hibernation in the spring and usually give birth to pups in early summer. Commentator Carrie Rothbard shares the story of one young bat she found in an old stone barn.
The bat in my husband's hand shakes, as if palsied. It clicks, steady as a Geiger counter. I think it must know it's defenseless. I touch its soft brown fur and gray wings that together span barely 3 inches. The clicking intensifies. The light is fading as we stand next to the old stone barn, looking for a bat-sized chink in the wall. The wildlife rehabilitator told us to find refuge for this pint-sized creature, to place him up high, to increase the likelihood that he would drop and take flight. We found him inside the barn at the base of a cinder block wall. Every day, 20 or so juvenile males crawl down from the roost to hang precariously by their toes, pushed out of the nest by their mothers. By night, they are gone, except for those pups that have fallen. There's a recess at about eye level, and I clear talus from the ledge. My husband makes a drawbridge of his palm, and the bat shuffles across, then turns to face us as it backs into its cave. "You did well. Just think good thoughts and check on him in the morning," says the rehabilitator, when we tell her we've released him. "Thank you so much for caring." The next morning, we return to find the bat gone. We have saved a life, or so we hope. I think about the difference one bat's life might make. It's spring out here in the country, and the fecundity is ferocious, nature's indifference to individual fate. Some newborns live while others die. I know this, and yet I remain unable to bear witness to impending death. I return to the barn at dusk each day to find more juvenile bats and to save them. The next bat we rescue is smaller and much weaker, but as it scrambles across into the chink we locate for him, his speed belies his tiny size, and we think good thoughts. When we check on him in the morning, he is gone. I cheer on those bats I have rescued, but my hope begs the question, does what we're doing matter? To borrow from the central image of the butterfly effect and claim that the flapping of one set of wings can cause a storm is equally to admit that we can never say for sure what causes what. Small events can have large, widespread consequences, or they may not. I'm left to feel big and important, or small and insignificant, as I choose. I lean toward seeing myself as a small, unknowing part of life, which is not a terrible thing. I walk the earth, rescuing some bats and missing others, living in the small space between mattering greatly and not mattering at all.
Carrie Rothbard is a nonprofit consultant and grant writer. Wisconsin Life is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council, supporting programs that use history, culture, and discussion to strengthen the community life for everyone in Wisconsin. You can listen to other Wisconsin Life pieces at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Cynthia Schuster, filling in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking with Gary Knowles this hour for Tell Cynthia Where to Go. Gary Knowles is the Upper Great Lakes columnist for Journal and Topics newspapers based in Des Plaines, Illinois, and a contributing travel editor for American Boomer. He's our monthly contributor to Tell Joy Where to Go, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email your travel recommendations or questions to talk@WPR.org. Gary, you are very excited for Bean and Bacon Day.
Yeah, Bean and Bacon Days are coming next weekend. And actually, this is the first year I've seen the Bean and Bacon Days. I think they've probably done it a while. It's up in Augusta, which is kind of up in the Eau Claire area, up in that part of the state. But they have a Miss Augusta pageant, which ought to be kind of fun. They have a flea market up there. Always fireworks. You can always count on fireworks over the 4th of July. A demolition derby. That's always kind of neat to see people crashing cars into each other. And they have ATV mud races and senior citizen activities, which they don't describe. So that might be kind of fun to see that, too. And anything that goes on up in Augusta, you can count on the beans, the bacon, and an ice cream social to go with it. So that should be kind of fun.
That sounds very heart healthy.
Yeah, that will be good.
Yeah. And, 4th of July is coming up next week. What are some great things to do for the 4th of July?
Well, virtually any little town, pick any little town, big town, city, whatever. Wisconsin is really a great place to celebrate the 4th of July. And there's fireworks in most every place, and that's great because they have great shows. A couple of my favorite places are the old-time Wisconsin communities that have a great history. One of those would be La Pointe, Wisconsin, which is one of our earliest settlements in the state, way up in, go to Bayfield, catch the ferry, go over to Madeline Island. La Pointe is a little town over there. Hmm. They have a parade that is just, it's like a mashup of a Jimmy Buffett concert meets the American Legion, meets the people from Northern Exposure. It is a great little community celebration. Some examples of the kinds of things they have in their parade up there. They have an ice, a wind sled that carries people across the ice during the winter from Bayfield to Madeline Island, and that will probably be featured in the parade. They used to have a truck that would come through where they were grilling hot dogs on the back, and they would throw hot dogs out to people in the crowd, and people walking behind would be carrying ketchup and mustard to put on your hot dog. Yeah,
tossing candy at a parade.
Yeah, it's really kind of a fun thing. The people with the dogs would march their dogs in the parade. Mm-hmm. They have a local band that's organized from anybody who plays an instrument. They kind of get together and march in the parade. But then they also have fireworks at the end of the day on the 4th of July down at the harbor in La Pointe. And that is always neat because it's a small town affair, and there's a 100 good places to sit, and just friendly people and a lot of fun. Now, another place that has a really neat little 4th of July celebration is Mineral Point down here in southwest Wisconsin. And they always have a great parade. People line up to get a place to see it, but that's not a problem. You can easily find a place on the street to watch it. But they have a 2 and a 5 mile run for people that want to do some activities. They celebrate the armed forces in that parade this year. They're going to have a barbecue. Mm-hmm. There'll be all kinds of good music and, of course, fireworks. So, that just a couple of places that we picked out there. But there's good stuff all over. Boulder Junction is having a big celebration, I know. Omro, of course, will have their celebration, as always. Up in Rome, Lake Sherwood will have their celebration. So might be kind of neat to hear if anybody's doing any other special things out there for the 4th of July. We've got some good stuff going on. So, yeah, big celebration, and in Wisconsin we celebrate not just the 4th of July, but independence, and we're all independent here, so, it's a good Independence Day celebration.
Mm-hmm. Call us and let us know what's going on in your area for the 4th of July. Get your friends and neighbors out there as well. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Also going on around the 4th here in Madison is the National Women's Music Festival. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that should be kind of fun too, I guess. That, I think, is now in at least its second year, if not more than that. But they're going to be bringing in, of course, people from all over the country are coming in for the National Women's Music Festival. They also do films. They have workshops, comedy shows, and, of course, lots of musical performances. And that'll be taking place from the 4th through the 7th. So mm-hmm. it's an ongoing affair here in Madison. And the National Women's Music Festival is becoming a big deal because there are some really good people, good singers and groups out there that come in for it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Speaking of singers, Elvis Lives.
Yeah, Elvis and and Roy, too. Roy Orbison. Yes. Elvis and Roy are going to be in Fish Creek. They're doing a show called The Voices of Rock up there. And this is John Van Thiel, who mm-hmm. does the Elvis impersonation, and Danny Jay, who's got just an incredible voice. I've heard him a couple of times. Together, they're going to be in Fish Creek on the 6th and the 7th doing the Voices of Rock show, and it's at the Door County Auditorium up there. If you remember the great Elvis songs and the great Roy Orbison songbook that exists, you'll get to hear a lot of it up there. These guys are really talented. I believe they're both out of the Milwaukee area, but I've heard them in other performances before, and they really do recreate the sounds of your famous friends Roy and Elvis.
That's so nice. I'm sure that'll be very exciting to see.
That should be a good one.
1-800-642-1234, the number to call with your travel questions and recommendations. We'll go to Dan in Drummond. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
You? I want to talk about my hometown in Millen. Usually their festival for the 4th, the night before, they have a big street dance where they have 4 or 5 of the local bands play in a flatbed semi, and then the next day in the morning, they have what they call the Friends of the Library Bell Ringer, which is a 5 mile and a 2 mile run. And the person that starts the race is a guy by the name of Keith Marquis, who pulls the bell. And this year marks his 97th birthday, and his twin is still alive yet, too.
Wow. Holy cats, that's great. What town is that in again?
Millen.
In Mellon. Okay. Super. That ought to be a lot of fun.
Thanks for that call, Dan. That's a great recommendation.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. You know, each little town seems to have some special thing that kind of makes their 4th of July celebration unique. And, mm-hmm. and that's really kind of a neat example up there, isn't it?
We're talking with Gary Knowles. He's the Upper Great Lakes columnist for Journal and Topics newspapers based in Des Plaines, Illinois, and contributing travel editor for the online publication American Boomer. He's our monthly contributor to our Tell Joy Where to Go programs, which you hear every Friday morning from 6 until 7 a.m. I'm Cynthia Schuster, filling in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In our weather forecast today, increasing clouds, then rainy, mild with highs near 70 degrees. Highs will be near the lower 60s, though, near Lake Superior. Cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid to upper 50s tonight. And tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, a chance of rain, highs in the lower 70s and lows in the lower 50s tomorrow night. I'm Cynthia Schuster, filling in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll take a look at the rainy weather that's been hitting Wisconsin this week and some of the resulting flood damage with a couple of guests. So please join us after 7 o'clock. Right now, I'm talking with Gary Knowles, Upper Great Lakes columnist for Journal and Topics newspapers based in Des Plaines, Illinois, and a contributing travel editor for the online publication American Boomer. He's our monthly contributor to the Tell Joy Where to Go segment, and you can see his monthly events calendar at WPR.org/joy. We've also shared it on our Facebook page. Our phone number, if you have any questions or travel recommendations, things to see and places to go, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Gary, tell us about this Imprisoned Spirits event.
Well, this is in West Bend. It's kind of like Halloween in July, I guess you could say. They're going to do a tour of a couple of buildings up there in West Bend that some people think have imprisoned spirits in them that are haunted, you might say, or that at least are special because of that. And it's a 90-minute guided tour of the old Washington County Courthouse and the old jailhouse up there that for years they've been saying those places are haunted. And I'm not exactly sure who they're haunted by or why, but you can go up there on the 11th of July. They're going to be doing this tour, and it probably would be worth checking it out if you're into chasing down spirits. It might be kind of fun to do that. It sounds like an interesting event, at least, and the old courthouse is waiting for you there, Cynthia. So you may want to put that on your calendar. Yeah,
that is interesting. You know, I'm very fascinated by those types of things.
So. Yeah. Okay. Well, then you should probably go do that one and report back to us, would you?
I will.
Okay.
So the Midwest Paddle Fest is coming up as well.
The Midwest Paddle Fest is going to be in Madison, July 12th to the 14th, and it's a week-long festival for stand-up paddleboarding. And this is an event, you know, kind of an activity that really has become a lot more popular. And the festival goes on all over the place. Bishop's Bay Country Club will be a place where a lot of the people are getting together out there. But they'll also be out on Lake Monona, where, you know, if you come at the right time of the day, you'll be able to see the people mm-hmm. paddling with the Capitol and the Monona Terrace Community Center in the background, of course. And if you want to learn how to paddle, they usually have beginner classes if you want to, you know, just learn how to get into this kind of thing.
I think Joy did that a couple summers ago.
Joy had mentioned that she had done that. Yeah, and I think she had a good time doing it. I suppose if you get out there, you can paddle all the way across the lake. If you're good enough, and if not, you'll get halfway across the lake.
someone will come get you.
And then somebody will come and get you. Yeah, no. But it really is a lot of fun, and it's a benefit with the part of the profits from part of the festival are going to go to the American Family Children's Hospital. So that ought to be kind of fun, too.
Nice.
So well, good reason to do that.
One legend that sometimes we forget has Wisconsin roots is Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Yeah. Laura Ingalls Wilder up in Pepin mm-hmm. was in Pepin. And, of course, they do have celebrations up there. So
and they've got the at the Old World, Wisconsin, they've got the World of Little House, looks like, up in Eagle.
That's right. And yeah, and they celebrate Laura Ingalls Wilder being born in Wisconsin. 1867, I believe, is when she was born up there. And, of course, their family moved all over the place. They mm-hmm. started in Wisconsin. Well, they kind of started in Wisconsin, wound up in South Dakota and, I think, Missouri and Iowa and probably some other
Mankato,
places.
Mankato, Minnesota.
And in Minnesota, mm-hmm. that's right. They're kind of all over the place out there. But, yeah, there's they have a Eagle, Wisconsin over at Old World. They have a celebration going on there. I guess it's through the 31st of the month, kind of a month-long mm-hmm. Celebration. And they're going to even have a look-alike contest. Now, I'm not sure if they know what young Laura looked like.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen a picture from 1867 of or 1877, for that matter, what a 10-year-old Laura Ingalls Wilder looked like. But,
huh.
of course, she did write all those Little House books, and, you know, I don't think she knew Michael Landon, though.
Well, you know, speaking of that cast, up at Heritage Hill in De Pere, they are going to have their own, every year they have their own Laura Ingalls Wilder Days or something, and they always bring in someone from the TV show to help celebrate. And this year it's going to be the woman who played Nellie Olson.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I don't know if I forget who else they're bringing in. It might be the guy who played Laura's husband.
And
I know that he's been there a couple of times.
And when will that be? Do you know?
I don't.
Okay.
Off the top of my head,
it's at Heritage Hill though, up in Green Bay,
yeah.
right? Okay.
I'll look that up and we'll mention it before the end of the show here.
They also have in Pepin, of course, up near where Laura was born, they do have a Laura Ingalls Wilder Festival up there every year as well. And I want to say that usually happens, I think, in autumn. And I think it's around September, so we can check that out too, I suppose. But yeah, Laura Ingalls Wilder is a major Wisconsin author.
And the Heritage Hill Laura Ingalls Wilder Days, those will take place Friday, July 26th. And Saturday the 27th at Heritage Hill.
Yeah, so. Heritage Hill is a nice place in Green Bay. Well worth going to that one, too. So if you're looking for ideas, Cynthia, go on up there.
You know, I'm there often. So And last weekend they had some nice Civil War reenactments on, too, with Abraham Lincoln there, too, to deliver the Gettysburg Address.
And I think, don't they have one of Wisconsin's oldest residences there,
mm-hmm.
the Tonk Cottage, I believe?
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, really a neat place. Yeah, Heritage Hill.
Let's go to Bill in Seymour. He's got a call for us. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Yes. Hey, we're just 15 minutes from Heritage Hill here in Seymour, Wisconsin. And as you know, we're the home of the Hamburger, but many people probably don't realize that we've opened a new museum and learning center here in Seymour. It's a $1.2 million building, and we have the world's largest collection of hamburger-related items that we've just acquired. We have over 1,500 hamburger-related items, as well
wow.
as much local history and community history. And it's a very family-friendly museum. There's no charge. We just rely on donations from people. And, of course, we have our big Burger Fest on August 9th and 10th, celebrating the origin of the hamburger in Seymour in 1885.
Great, Bill. That's
well, Bill, can we is that the Hamburger Museum, do you call it?
Yeah, we call it the Seymour Community Museum.
Oh, you don't call it the Hamburger Museum.
I guess not. We only have about 30 seconds, or I should say about a minute left to talk about that. So yeah, the hamburger was allegedly invented in Seymour, Wisconsin.
Well, I think Bill would say it was.
yeah.
It was invented here. We have all
these
See,
no question.
There's no question about that. And that would be a good place for you to go, too, I think, Cynthia. Go up and get a burger in Seymour, huh?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Gary, for being here to tell us where to go in the month of July. You always have some great recommendations. Our guest is Gary Knowles, Upper Great Lakes columnist for Journal and Topics newspapers based in Des Plaines, Illinois, and contributing travel editor for the online publication American Boomer. He's here every month to tell Joy where to go. I'm Cynthia Schuster, filling in for Joy Cardine. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this hour, Christy Taylor for on-air direction, and Justin Williams for on-air production. Much more ahead right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Auburndale, New Auburn, Berlin, New Berlin, London, New London, Rome, the other Rome, Franklin, the other Franklin, New Franklin, Richmond, New Richmond, Richwood, Woodruff, Woodford, Pleasantville, Pleasant Prairie, Sun Prairie, Star Prairie, Prairie Sheen, Prairie Sack, Black Flambeau, Vernon, hopping over there. Hey, smell that dairy.